This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 26. Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 26. Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 26 reads this way. It says, "For then must he have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your church. And then, Lord, asking you for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, may we be completely yielded to you. And Lord, expecting a blessing because truly, Lord, you desire to bless our lives and build our lives for your honor and glory. So build and bless Northwood Baptist Church, Lord, and all your churches for your honor and glory. And we'll give you the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this morning is "The End of the World," or "By the Sacrifice of Himself." Now, a lot of times when people talk about the end of the world, they talk about the destruction of the world, and it's all going to be said and done. But really what we're looking at are three time frames that are noted in the Bible. The first time frame that we look at is before the law. That's the book of Genesis. If you're familiar with the book of Genesis, we deal with the creation, we deal with Adam and Eve, we deal with Noah, and we deal with Abraham and what the Lord was to do through Abraham. Then we have the time during the law, which is Exodus all the way through Malachi, and that is also called the First Testament. There's a Second Testament that we call also the New Testament. We praise God for that one because that fulfills everything that is needful. And then, of course, from the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was the Messiah to fulfill the law, and we begin the age of grace at that time. And it's also known as the last days or the New Testament. So notice again verse 26 here. It says, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world." That's what the Bible says. We are now in the age of the end of the world. Now, roughly there may have been some 2,000 years in each segment, if you will. But we are in the end of the world. And when the world will actually end, we don't know. That's in God's hands. It can go on for quite some time. We don't know. Again, it's in the Lord's hands. But boy, oh boy, as you look around and consider what's going on, you can tell that things are winding down to get ready for the Lord's return. And we thank the Lord also for that. So I want to tell you this, that when we consider the book of Hebrews, it tells us that Jesus Christ was the best sacrifice. And I want you to understand this also. When we talk about true Christianity, that is the only faith that gives you eternal life, because Christ is the only one and true God and Savior of the world with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. There are no others. All these others are deceivers, and they are either deceiving or being deceived themselves. And that's just the way it is. We're not trying to make friends. We're not trying to make enemies, although they are the enemies of true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me just clarify something else. We're not talking about Christendom. You ever heard that terminology? Christendom. Christendom is anything and everything that calls itself Christian. We don't believe that people are Christ-like if they believe you can lose your salvation or you have to do something to get it. Again, they are deceived or they're deceiving people. One or the other, they're either on board with it or they're ignorant of it. But nonetheless, it's all not the truth, right? The only truth is the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, and putting our faith and trust in him. So we want to consider this as we look at this. We want to see some of the things that happened with Christ that was prophesied of him coming and doing these things before he ever did, amen. And so that is the difference, that when we look to the Word of God, there are actually prophecies that were foretold of who the Messiah was going to be, and we find that all completely fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as any other Savior, and for people to believe that, they're deceiving themselves. But if we look for the truth, we're going to see something very unique in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, the law, and by the way, there are Christians, so-called, they profess to be Christians, and they say, we need to go back to observing the law. No, that's not the case, because the law was for a specific time until the coming of the Messiah, and Jesus Christ fulfilled all the demands of the law
to give us eternal life through his sacrifice. So chapter 10, verse 1 says this, "For the law having a shadow of good things to come." The law had its place, and it was a good thing until the better thing came, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And not the very image of the things can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers there unto perfect. So here's what he's saying. The Old Testament was a picture of what Christ was going to do because those sacrifices had to be offered continually every year. Every year they were being reminded that they're not perfect. But now in Christ, there is no more need for sacrifice. We are made perfect in him. And that's the blessing that you and I have on this side in this dispensation that is also called the dispensation of grace. Verse 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? In other words, listen, if those Old Testament sacrifices made you perfect, you wouldn't have to keep offering them. But notice, because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Amen? So that was the flaw or the part that the Old Testament could not continue and it was not the way of eternal life, but it was pointing toward the one that would give us eternal life, the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world. So let's back up a little bit and kind of put this together because I'm convinced today that there are a lot of people that don't know what true Christianity is, and the world is definitely thinking that they're, how would you say, their philosophy is, well, what's the difference? One religion is as good as another. And no, it's not. Listen, there's only one way to eternal life, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me invite you back to chapter 7 of the book of Hebrews, and I want you to see the difference of the Lord Jesus Christ and anything else that comes out beside the Lord Jesus Christ. So look at chapter 7, verse 1, speaking about Melchizedek, king of Salem. It says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him." This is the one, remember, when Abraham and his men went to deliver Lot and the people of Sodom. And by the way, Lot went back into Sodom right after he got delivered. He didn't get his act together there. He was a saved believer, but one that did not faithfully serve the Lord. He was serving himself. And so anyway, when God had blessed Abraham with the victory, you remember the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah wanted to give him all the spoils. And he said, "Nope, my commitment is to my God. I don't want you to say that you've given me anything, but I get everything from my God. I won't even take a shoe latchet, right? I'm not even going to take a shoestring from you because I don't want you to say that I have made Abraham rich. I'm dependent upon my God and him alone." So again, verse 1, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him," listen to this, "to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all." So there was tithing before the law, right? Now notice this. "First being an interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace." Listen, "without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually." He was somebody that had, and by the way, if you remember who the priest tribe was in the Old Testament, they were the Levitical priest tribe, right? So God is making sure that this took place before the Levitical priesthood was ever even into being. Does that make sense? So follow this. This is why that the Old Testament law could never make anybody righteous. But it was a picture. It was a picture of he who was to come. So verse 3, he says again, this Melchizedek was without father, without mother. He had no known beginning. Amen. And he was like unto the Son of God, and he abideth a priest continually. Now, verse 4 says, "Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils." So he was paying tithes. He was paying him homage and honor. And here's the thing. The Levitical priesthood wasn't even in existence. In fact, here we have Isaac yet to be, and Jacob yet to be, and then the 12 tribes of Israel, they are not in existence here in this particular case. So verse 5 says, "And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive of the office of the priesthood, have commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is of their brethren, though," notice, "though they come out of the loins of Abraham." So what the Bible is telling us is they have commandment to take the tithes of the people of Israel, right? This is the commandment, but they were not even in existence yet. And so notice this, verse 6, "But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that he had the promises, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as they may so say," listen, "Levi also who receiveth tithe paid tithes in Abraham." Did you get that? So in other words, they were saying, this is the Levitical priesthood, they paid tithes in Abraham. They're not even in existence. Let me try to qualify it like this. How many of you know your great-grandfather? Have you ever met your great-grandfather? You met your great-grandfather? Okay, let's go back a little further than that. How many of you met your great-great-grandfather? You know him? I don't know him. I don't even know my great-grandfather, but let's just say great-great-grandfather. If your great-great-grandfather died, where would you be? You wouldn't be. Because you came from him. Your life derived from your great-great-grandfather, right? My life derived, even though I don't know him, my life derived from somewhere I've got a great-great-grandfather I don't know about, that if he died, I wouldn't be here either. Now, this is important because the Bible tells us when you are born again, we are in who? We are in Jesus Christ. Our life is bound up in his life. And because he lives, we also will live. This is the only faith, the only religion, if you will, that propagates the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ being the Savior of the world. And the only reason why he has that is because our life is bound up in his life. That's why the Bible says to be saved means you must be born again. You must have a birth through him. That is the difference between all the other religions. That our life is founded in the Son of God, and the life that other religions are preaching and teaching have nothing to do with God at all. It has everything to do with their own merit, their own goodness, and that is the primary difference that differentiates the truth from every false religion. That's the bottom line. If you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. You don't have life, you have something else. I don't know what it is, but you don't want to find out when you stand before the God of the judge of all the earth, the God of heaven, and give an account. So if you can't go back to a time and place where you've been born again, and you know you've been born again, that there's a problem, don't be deceived. You need to seek the Lord. The Bible's very clear on how that takes place, but realize this, they're not good people that are teaching and preaching a lie. They're deceivers, and whether they're deceived themselves and they're deceiving other people, and if they're teaching that you can lose your salvation or have to do something for your salvation, they're still deceivers. And it doesn't matter if they're calling themselves Christians. They are not saved. They are not saved. They could call Jesus Christ Lord all day long, but Lord, Lord, look what we've done. He's going to say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." So there has to be a born-again experience that makes the difference. There's going to be people that I'm afraid are going to be devastated by the truth, and that doesn't have to be on this side of eternity. We can understand things and get things right and share the truth. So what is the difference between faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and every other religion? And that it's in Christ himself. It is Christ himself that makes the difference. You cannot believe in anything else and have eternal life because he is the life giver. Amen? From our physical life to our spiritual life, if people's faith is not founded, if we are not found in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are lost and undone. We have to be in Christ. All right? And if we are in Christ, there are some things that are actively taking place. That means if we're in Christ, remember, listen, if your great-great-grandfather died, your life was in him. And if he died, your life would not be, his life would not be in you. But likewise also, if we are in Christ, that means that the life of Christ is where? In us. In us. And so if we are not seeing the life of Christ in us, there's a problem. And we need to be concerned about that because, listen, God's not playing games. God's not just, oh, it doesn't really matter. My son died on the cross and he shed his blood and he was a perfect sacrifice. But just live the way that you want to. No, that means that the life of Christ is not in us. Now, I didn't say you weren't saved, but that is a bad testimony. That is a scary place to be because there was a lot of people that said, well, I know what I'm doing. I whatever they're saying, they're going to stand before the Lord and they're going to say, but, Lord. And he's going to say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Now, is it possible to be saved and live a horrible life? Lot did. Do you want that kind of a testimony? Do you want that kind of an assurance? I don't. And so there was something lacking in his relationship with his God. So, again, it says verse 4, now consider how great this man was unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. But Jesus is the greatest, right? The Lord Jesus Christ. And verily, verse 5, they that are of the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood have commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. By the way, the law is not in existence yet. Neither are the Levites, neither is Jacob, but God is talking about this like it was already there. Amen? Like it's already there because the life is wrapped up in the past. In other words, if we don't have life, if they didn't have life in Abraham, they wouldn't be in existence because they came through Abraham. Likewise, also, our life is wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says this in verse 6, but he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed them that had the promises, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but notice there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth, and as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. That's what the Bible is saying. That Levi, who was not yet in existence, because he's coming out of Abraham, paid tithes. So our the past, if we're not hooked up to the right genealogy, we have a problem, and there is a way to be hooked up to the right genealogy, and that is by being born again of the Spirit of God that places us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's very important. And again, he says here, verse 10, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. So he who was receiving the tithes paid tithes before he ever received tithes. And how did he do that? It was in Abraham. All right, so go back to our text. This is what the difference is. In fact, let's just look at this. This is important. Verse 11. Hebrew chapter 7. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Remember Aaron, you remember what tribe Jesus was from, don't you? Not the Levitical priesthood. He was of the tribe of Judah. And he had something even greater than what the law could provide, and that's eternal life. And so he says this, verse 12, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of a necessity a change also of the law. So we're going to change things now, right? That's Jesus Christ brought that change. And so what does he say? He says, again, verse 12, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of a necessity change also of the law. For he whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. But it was in the heart and mind of God. because it was going to supersede and go above the law and give us a righteousness that proceeds and goes above the law, and that's the righteousness that we receive through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it is a mockery and a shame for anybody to say, as a child of God, we must keep the law. No, then what you're saying is, why keep the law? You're saying Jesus did not fulfill it. No, Jesus fulfilled it and exceeded it and gave us something much better than the law could ever do. Because the law, there's a continual remembrance of our condemnation before the Lord Jesus Christ, but not in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have a greater salvation. Amen. Amen? We have a greater salvation. And let me ask you this question. Is there salvation in any other? There is no salvation in any other. And what were the Jews doing? They were looking to the promise of the Messiah, the coming of the one that would fulfill everything. And so that's what their hope was in. Their hope was not in what they were doing. What they were doing identified them as the people of God that had hope in the one who was to come. That's how it worked. Their hope, because they were fulfilling all these things and they were obedient to what God had commanded them to do, because their hope was in the one that was going to fulfill it once and for all, for all mankind. So he says this, verse 15, and it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who is made not after the law of carnal commandment, but after, listen, the power of what? Of an endless life. Do you see the difference? I don't want something after a carnal law. I want the power after an endless life. How about you? That's what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we need to know the difference between what we believe and what everybody else believes. Their faith and trust is in something that will never cause them to stand righteous before the Lord. They will still be in their sins. And by the way, let me ask you this. Does not the Bible call Jesus the second Adam? There's a first Adam. You and I are all in the first Adam. Did you know that? We're all. That's why we need salvation. Now, we like to do this. We like to say, for the wages of sin is death. Amen? But the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also like to say, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. And we also like to say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But wait a minute, what is it that makes a sinner? Think about this now. You could say sin makes a sinner. Well, this is true to a certain extent. But you can also have a good sinner who does not sin and walk in defilement. Are they still not lost also? Yes, they are. Why? Because their life is derived from Adam, who fell. And we have the same sin nature. We can all be traced back to Adam. We can all be traced back to Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Can we not? And so God, listen, but they needed a Savior. And that was why that's why we have to be in the Lord Jesus Christ, and our life has to come from Him and not the old man. So a lot of times we say, well, listen, for all have sinned and they've come short of the glory of God, but that's not the reason why they're condemned. They're condemned because we come from the wrong parent. We've come from a bad lineage. We've come from a fallen race. Amen? And that's our nature. We don't listen. We sin because that is the natural thing to do. And even if we didn't sin, our lineage is marred. We are condemned. Even if you could, you can't. But even if you could live a perfect life, you've been condemned before you were born because of the lineage of Adam. And we have to be born again because it's not my righteousness. My blood lineage is tainted. That's why I need the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses me from how many of my sins? All of them. Do you see the flaw with any other faith? They don't have anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, those that call themselves Christians and are saying, you got to get baptized for eternal life. Jesus didn't say that. You've got to come from the right lineage. You've got to be born again. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. If you want to even see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. And so, and by the way, aren't you glad? It just appears to me that Nicodemus trusted the Lord and was born again. But wait a minute, the religion of the day, the faith of the Pharisees and of the Old Testament Jews that weren't looking. Now Simeon and Anna, they knew who Jesus was when they saw him. Do you know why? Because they were linked to the Spirit of God and were looking to the promise of God. And when they saw him, they knew him. You know why? Because God let them know who it was. And do you know why you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ? Because God has to reveal himself to you to know. This is what we call conviction, Holy Spirit conviction. Oh, I'm guilty, God. And I see now that your Son, Jesus Christ, is my Savior. And by faith, I trust him. And that's where the difference is at. So when people say all religions are the same, oh, no, no. All religions don't have Jesus Christ. There's only one. And that is God's own religion, if you will. God's own faith. God's own sacrifice. And no other religion has that. Amen. They can point to, you know, and I'm not here knocking down religion, so I won't even mention this. You might know. But Jesus Christ is not the brother of Satan. And yet there's a big religion out there that is teaching that and preaching that. And then there are groups that are saying they're Christians too. Baloney. Baloney. Be careful how deceptive Satan is to get us not to understand the truth and to not proclaim what God has given to us, but just to kind of just say, oh, it doesn't really matter. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And I want to tell you, and I'm not here to lamb blast any particular thing, but if it's not of the truth, there's a problem with it. And not too long ago, there are people that are saying, oh, I just love these shows about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know that the founder of that show has a Catholic priest, a Mormon, and somebody else telling him how to write these stories, and he calls them all fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the devil can't get you to shake hands with an atheist, but he can link you up somehow down the line with people who say, listen, there are people that propagate that stuff that say, well, there's nothing different with the Muslims and all these other religions that teach that don't teach the truth. We're just all going along to get to the same place. But that's not how it's going to work. Be careful what you're watching and be careful what you're listening to if it's not preaching the truth. There, you can look them up online. There are preachers that have big mega churches. I'm talking about thousands. They fill up an arena, and they say, "Well, can you tell me, are Muslims going to hell then because they don't believe in Jesus Christ?" And this pastor of this mega church down in Houston, you probably know who I'm talking about, said, "Oh, I can't tell you that. They might be there. Oh no, they won't." Oh, no, you cannot sidestep the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't trample it under your foot and consider it an unholy thing. That's not going to work. And so will this get some people upset? I don't know. You tell me. But you know what? Let me ask you this. Should we tell them the truth or should we hide it and just wait till they stand before God and give an account? Because we don't want them to be condemned. Because we want them to understand, and we want them to research, and we want them to think, and we want them to look, and we want them to seek, because in doing that, they'll find God. Amen. If they look for him in his word, not anyplace else, and not what people feel, or how people think, or what people might say. Is that what God said? Go ye into all the world, but watch out what people might say. Is that what he said, or did he say, proclaim the truth? We have to proclaim the truth. As we go out. And so this is the difference. And this is the power that God has given to us of his endless life. Is the Lord Jesus Christ alive today?
Yes.
Amen. Listen, did he die on the cross? And this is important. Why did he die on the cross? Because it is his testament. And listen, when there has to be the death of the testator in order, because that allows the heirs to receive the promised possessions that the testator has promised to them when he dies. That's why Jesus had to die, that we might receive. It is good for me to go away, because if I don't go away, he said the Comforter won't come. And he is the life that I'm giving to you. I'm giving you of me, my life into you. And so this is critically important because you and I do not have the power to change our lives. You don't. I don't. Have you ever tried and it not work? And everybody would say, many times, many times. And you did it because you love the Lord. But you're, see, listen, we need to be looking for the changed or the exchanged life, our life for God's. It's important. We are walking disorderly, or we are walking being deceived by ourselves, that it doesn't really matter. I'm covered under grace. You may be, but it matters to God, and it matters to a lost and dying world for you and I to be filled with the Spirit of God and walking in His power, because souls are leaving in eternity and going to hell every day. And you and I won't think to hand out one track every day without the life of Christ. We won't even, but when we have the life of Christ, we'll think how He thinks, because God has given to us in that life what? The mind of Christ.
Right. Amen.
And to be concerned about lost souls. So go with me back over to chapter 9 real quick. Chapter 9. Look at verse 11. But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, listen to this, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, not physical buildings, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He really walked into the holy place. He didn't just walk into a tabernacle made with the hands of man. That was a picture of the real thing. That was a shadow, right? If you see my shadow of my hand, the shadow is not my hand. My hand's here. That is a shadow of the real thing. And that's what we have in what God has given to us. And then he says again, verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now that's a question. Listen, if you're saved, if you're the redeemed, you've not been redeemed with the blood of bulls and goats. You've been redeemed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that will do something that that animals on this side of eternity will never do. And so what is it that he said? Listen, look at verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Amen. He's going to purge, that means He's going to cleanse us from dead works to do the works of God that will honor Him. Amen. It is important that we expect God to perform what He's promised, or something is wrong. Something is wrong. Do you think God is playing games with eternal life? Do you think it's just like whatever we want to do? It's not. Verse 15, because His blood purged our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Verse 15, and for this cause, because of what Christ just did there, He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, that the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. The inheritance. You heard that word inheritance, right? That's why Jesus the testator had to die, so that we are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is because He had something for us to be joint heirs with Him, to have exactly what He had. And if we're not expecting to have what He had, there's something really wrong with our salvation. If we can walk around and just say, oh, it doesn't matter, I can just live the way that I want to and have eternal life, there's something wrong in your relationship. I didn't say you weren't saved, but there is something wrong in your relationship if that's all you care about, your Savior. If that's all you care about, He's saying, this is what I died for. I don't care. Who cares? This is just the way I am. Isn't that what the world say? It's just me, and I'm not changing. Well, you know what we're saying? To the blood of Christ. We'll just stomp on it. and say it doesn't matter. We're no better than the lost people if we're saved. Can you be saved and have that kind of an attitude? Lot did. Is that the example you want to follow? Not me. Verse 16, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Remember, they had to have the blood in order for the first testament, the Old Testament, to work. Much more the New Testament because it's the blood of Christ. See, you know, there's a problem in our society today amongst people that call themselves Christians. They think it doesn't really matter how they live their life. They can go ahead and just live like the world, and God says there's a problem right there. There's a big problem. Amen. You show no regard and no concern for the sacrifice and price that was paid for your redemption if you're saved. I'm afraid there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be shocked when they stand before God Almighty and Him say, I never knew you. And you know what they're going to say? But Lord, look what I did. And rattle off the list. There are preachers that God's going to say, I never knew you.
Right.
Yeah. There are going to be people that were involved in ministry that God's going to say, I never knew you. You know why? Because the life of Christ is of no concern to them. They just want to say, oh, by grace, by grace. Judge not, don't judge. God says you ought to judge yourself and take a look in your own front door. And if there's a problem there, you better bring it to the Lord if you care. If you want His life. If you don't want His life, I wonder why. If we don't want the life of Christ, maybe we're not born again. Do you think this is something unbiblical or something God would say, beware, beware, lest you think you're standing and you're not? So verse 18, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Verse 19, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Was it important, even the Old Testament, the First Testament, was this important? Yeah, it was important. Verse 21, moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. It is therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered to the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He did it for real. We just had the picture. Do you see the importance of the Lord Jesus Christ? And His sacrifice, not the Old Testament sacrifice. His sacrifice was a holy thing.
Amen?
Amen? The other sacrifice was what God allowed until the fullness of time would come, where He would send His Son. There is no salvation in any other. There is no salvation any other way. And by the way, we can't add anything to it. And there are people that are adding all kinds of things to the truth. Which, you know what that does? It perverts it. And you know what they bring on themselves when you add things to the Word of God? A curse from God. Because anything we can't touch the Word of God. We cannot touch it or change it, is what I'm saying, by touching it and expect God to be pleased with that. Verse 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. Speaking of Jesus, he only went once. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world, that's the end of the world that we looked at, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of who? Himself. He did it himself. He was the high priest of all high priests and the sacrifice. And he is the one that gives us his life. And if his life is not in our life, I'm telling you, there's a problem. No, better yet, God's telling us there's a problem. There's a problem. And we can shirk it. We can just say it doesn't really matter. I don't care. Well, then you'll stand. That's how you'll stand before God. With that right there, God will say, you said you didn't care. You may have not verbally said it, but your attitude in your heart was you don't care. You're not changing. Or better yet, you're not going to allow God to change you, and you're not going to call sin what God calls sin. Now, does Northwood Baptist Church want revival?
Yes.
Amen. You know why? Because God is worthy. Is he not? God is worthy.
Amen.
And may we humbly, see, listen, do we realize who we're approaching? God Almighty that gave us his Son. And that we might say, Lord, how privileged I am that I can come boldly to the throne because of the sacrifice you've given to me. And may I not take anything for granted just because I'm a redeemed child of the Lord. And may I not excuse myself from anything that you've called me to, especially when you said I'm a peculiar people, I am a royal priesthood to bring you honor and glory by abiding in you. God knew we can't do it. That's why he said, you got to abide in me. And it would behoove every believer to figure out and seek the Lord. Lord, what does that mean and how do you do that in my life? Because one thing I know, I can't do it. I don't want to be a failure. I don't want to be a shipwreck. I don't want to be misled. I don't want to follow the crowd. Definitely don't want to follow the world. Listen, this might be hard to understand. I'm not worried about the world being offended at me. I am worried about my God being offended at me.
Amen.
Because the world hates our God. I don't care what little thing they come up with. If it's not biblical, it is dead wrong.
Amen.
Wrong. And we might pay a price for saying that someday soon.
Right.
But may God give us the grace to stand firm.
Amen.
By the grace of God, that we will not deny our God.
Amen.
The world is corrupt and going astray and going to destruction. I am not on that path. Whatever they think is right, if it stands against the Bible, it's wrong. It's wrong. You hear me? If you're listening, Siri, it's wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Don't think they're not listening. Verse 19, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats and water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled it both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the New Testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled it with blood, both the tabernacle and all the vessels, ministry, and almost all things that are by the law are purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But we have the one from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 26, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end, the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he... Did you hear that? Listen. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Are we looking for the Lord Jesus Christ? Then may we be standing, amen, and walking. And may we be seated with him. The book of Ephesians tells us that. We are seated with Christ. And because we are seated with Christ, we can now walk as Christians. And because now we are seated with Christ, and because we are walking with Christ after his way, we can stand against the devil. And listen to this. God didn't say march forward. He just said hold the ground that I've given to you. Listen, we are not marching and we are not fighting unto victory. We are starting from victory in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We have already been brought into the promises of God by the blood of the Lamb. Amen?
Amen.
We're just standing, and the devil and the world is pushing and trying to push us back. And to call us every unkind thing that is not true. How many of you want to see people saved? Just raise your hand if you want to see people saved. I don't think there's one hand that didn't go up. How can you say we don't love people when we want them to have the same eternal life that God has given to us? The end of the world is at hand. God has given us a sacrifice. Here's the question. What are we doing with it? Are we hiding it under a bushel? And here's another question. What do we want to do with it? Is it time for us to wake up out of sleep and say, oh God, may every day be yours. May I be thinking about souls every day. May I be thinking about your honor and your glory every day. Because tell me, in eternity, what on earth is going to matter? What on earth is going to matter? I didn't say, God's not saying shirk your responsibilities. But what is the most important thing that we have on this side of eternity? Is it not our relationship with God? Oh God, hey, I need revival. How about you?
Amen.
Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we have to come into your house and to understand more about you. Lord, may we not be casual or forgetful about the relationship that you've given to us. Lord, may you quicken our hearts and minds concerning the salvation that you've given to us. And Lord, if there's anyone here that does not have the assurance of eternal life, speak to their hearts as only you can, and let them know that they must trust you, Lord, before it's too late. Bless again your word and your people, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.